This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Las Vegas Raiders coach Clint Kubiak is not ready to name a starting quarterback just yet. Kirk Cousins didn't play yesterday, wasn't even suited up. And Fernando Mendoza got the first half. Clint said, we got another week. I don't want anyone to be comfortable in their job. It should always be that way for all positions. So let's keep going. The Raiders came back and won their preseason game last night against Houston. They were down 20-3 at halftime. But then, of course, all the backups came in and the Raiders scored 12 points in the fourth to come back and win. Fernando Mendoza, 8 of 15, 86 yards, but he did throw a pick six. It was a 60-yard pick six, Michael. Very interesting just seeing Mendoza as a Raider. He was talking about the strip and everything, the, you know, how you just don't go there. You just don't go there. You just don't stay around, whatever. It is very unique, Mike, that Mendoza, Kirk Cousins, two guys pretty out loud about their faith, are playing for the Las Vegas Raiders. It's kind of interesting there. Cowboys, Saints, they're speaking of fights, because the Broncos had a little dust up earlier in the week. Cowboys and Saints each fined $500,000 for a brawl in joint practice. NFL said on Tuesday that the competition committee has made sportsmanship a point of emphasis over the years, including sportsmanship at joint practices, and the league told every team about that emphasis this summer. A league spokesperson said in a statement Thursday, all clubs were reminded by memo prior to training camp of their responsibility in preventing unsportsmanlike behavior at joint practices. That has the potential to result in injury. Fights occurred on both fields after the teams split up to work their offenses and defenses against each other. Punches were thrown on both fields. Play had to be stopped multiple times on the field due to Saints offensive players and Cowboys defensive players rushing over to join the fray. One player tossed a helmet in one instance, and in another skirmish, a player was body slammed to the ground. So that kind of makes what the Broncos dealt with, again, against each other, seem like really not much of anything. That's what I'm talking about. These are the fights, and again, team on team, team versus team kind of deal, but yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah, there was one play where a Saint threw a punch like right after the play was over. He just threw a punch. If this is stupid, especially in preseason and the playoffs, because one, you're looking to make the team, and if you're on the bubble, attitude matters.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. That's why we said like the Broncos fight, the one isolated instance was not a big deal, but if you keep hearing about it, then you gotta figure something out. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey said allowing athletes who have signed professional contracts back into college sports fuels disruption and should not be allowed, according to an affidavit filed in a Louisiana courthouse last week. Yeah, I mean, this is the one where I do agree with the NCAA for the most part on this, Mike. The signing contracts and then coming back August 22nd. 21st, whatever it is, it's wild to me. People are talking a lot about the Nuggets, Mike, after Peyton Watson was traded. This is what ESPN has. They're giving their rundown of the Nuggets offseason at a glance. They're kind of worried about this team. Here's what they write. Losing Watson means the Nuggets don't get to reap the long-term rewards of developing him from a raw reserve into a bona fide contributor. Amid a host of failed draft picks in the 25 to 40 range over the last half decade, Jalen Pickett, Julian Strother, Hunter Tyson, Bones Highland, Watson was the one standout, and Denver clearly missed his two-way ability in its shocking playoff loss to the injury-ravaged Timberwolves last spring. But now the Cavs will benefit, because they were able to create enough financial wiggle room to dip below the second apron and add Watson, while the Nuggets were not. The Nuggets draft pick compensation is sufficiently enticing that this deal isn't a disaster. Now the Nuggets, who didn't have any tradable firsts before Wednesday, can theoretically use this unprotected Cavs pick to trade for a different player. Yes, that's the other thing. They can potentially use that pick, try to trade for a player, get somebody else on this list. The big question, they write, what is Jokic's future in Denver? An NBA superstar declining to discuss a four-year, $278 million extension with only one season of team control remaining on his current contract would typically raise the alarm. Jokic has done his best to suppress that, maintaining he wants to stay in Denver his entire career and indicating that the holdup is about an ability to make even more money next summer. He also said, remember this one, this is an important one to remember, Joker said, I don't have the direct quote, but even if we don't win another championship, I want to be a Denver Nugget. So when asked, would you blame Joker if he wanted out, if he's requesting a trade? Yes, because of what he said. He said, even if we don't win another title, I want to be a Denver Nugget for life. So as a fan base would absolutely feel betrayed. They go on to write in this ESPN breakdown of all the teams, but until Jokic is locked in for long term, every Nugget move will be viewed with a microscope. Any in-season struggle will carry extra weight, and any crack of daylight for Jokic will generate whispers. I mean, yeah, it's going to be all season. Every loss, every disappointing loss, it's going to be, Joker deserves better. It's going to be a long year, Mike. I mean, I always love it. Love watching the Nuggets. Watch every game. But every night, we're going to be hanging on that. The predicted net points per 100 possessions for the Nuggets, top seven players for the 26-27 season. They go on to list the top seven players. Joker, Jamal, Gordon, Cameron Johnson, Christian Brown, Julian Strother, and Spencer Jones. Just kind of dips down as you go. Since the start of their 22-23 championship season, almost every single Nuggets player has fared better on offense with Jokic on the floor. Brown, Johnson, Jamal Murray, Bruce Brown, Aaron Gordon, etc. So can Joker... There's going to be a lot on this guy's shoulders, Mike, more than ever before. Can he make the best of this roster and take them somewhere? That would be wild.
How many minutes is he going to have to play? 40 minutes?
Yeah. Who's your backup
48?
Center? Who's your backup center? You don't really have one. This time last year, I would say I was very optimistic. Unfortunately, again, you just didn't see it work together because everybody kept getting hurt. But right now, your backup center is Marvin Bagley. I know Derbs, the dude down the hall, is kind of excited about Marvin Bagley, and I've said this before. There's like four or five guys on this roster that are maybe they can turn into something. Maybe Marvin Bagley is going to be good. Maybe Spencer Jones outplays that contract and it looks like they got him for pennies. Julian Strother is still like, is he going to become a player? You know, Lonnie Walker, Alpha Diallo, he's a really good defensive player in Europe, but what's he going to do? Will Zeke Nagy see the light of day on this roster? Yeah, you don't have, like, Daron Holmes. Big questions, just questions around everybody outside of Joker. I would say Jamal, we kind of know what we're getting there. I have questions about Christian Brown. Can he bounce back after the injury year? Cam Johnson, can he have a better start? So it will be interesting to see how this one breaks down. 12:15 the time. We'll take a short break here. Yeah, I saw that. We'll get into it. The UNC Bears basketball team announced their schedule. So that's out. We got a little bit of that. We got a little whiff of that on Tuesday when we were out there talking to the players and the coaches. That was fun. But we'll look at that too. Also, the projected 53, Mike. What is that going to look like for the Broncos? And that's why tonight does matter. Tonight is important for Denver. We'll get to that. Keep it here on the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
You want Broncos football? Then you want Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Heating and cooling, heating, air conditioning, duct cleaning. Free estimates are available. Visit them online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. We are clients of theirs, both air conditioning stuff, heater stuff. They helped us out, man. They were fantastic to deal with. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. The UNC Bears basketball schedule came out. I'm glad to see this one, Mike. They're going to keep that Wyoming exhibition game going on. That will be October 11th. Won't count as anything, but obviously, Coach Steve Smiley and Sundance Wicks, like, best friends. So making that a reality. I'd love to see them play in the regular season, but texter here from the 970 just saw Northern Colorado men's basketball schedule was released. Good schedule, but no CSU game. It was fun when they used to play each other. CSU must still be nervous to play the Bears in any sport after last year's football game. Well, and UNC battles CSU pretty good, Mike. Man, beat them a couple years ago, and that year the Rams went to the tournament with David Roddy and company. UNC almost won that game. That was a hell of a basketball game. Took a pretty interesting comeback by CSU to get that one. But those games have been great. I haven't heard if there's interest on CSU's part to schedule, but I do know that they scheduled football games, so I don't know if they're that nervous about it. They're going to be playing them, what, four more times is what we talked about yesterday, Mike, on the football side of things, starting in 2029, 2028. So that's kind of cool. So Wyoming exhibition, Colorado College, Arizona State on that list. Ooh, Northern New Mexico's on the list. Eastside Chris will be able to give us his updates. He's our listener. He's our insider of all things Northern New Mexico.
Maybe that's why Northern New Mexico was like, you know what? We need to play this team because they're talking about us.
They're a unique situation. I can't remember all the details on it, but they basically play most of their games on the road. So I don't know if they have really much of a place to play. South Dakota State at BYU. They're going to be a part of the Cancun Challenge on November 24th. They're at San Diego. Then you get into, well, they have a couple, the Idaho, Eastern Washington. Then in the middle of that, they'll play Stanford, College of Charleston, Regis. And then they begin their Big Sky schedule, full Big Sky schedule on December 31st at Montana. This is a Bears team, man. What's this basketball team going to be like? It was really fun for us Tuesday. We did this thanks to Bank of Colorado. We sat down. Michael literally interviewed every single player, every single coach. It was crazy. It was a long day of radio, but a fun day of radio.
I would say that broadcast was a slam dunk.
I would say so too. I was a little worried that it was going to be too loud because we were set up in the corner of the practice gym, but it was cool though because you could really hear the background noise. You could hear coach. I mean, that's the first time we've ever done a full on broadcast like during a practice, especially a basketball practice. So that was cool getting to know these guys. However, this is the first year in a while that we can say we're not able to say the Bears have like one or two guaranteed studs. I'm not saying anything negative about this team. I'm excited about a bunch of these players, but like last year, for example, you knew you were getting Brock Wisney, Zach Block, and Quinn Danker coming back. So you had three dudes that you could say, okay, that's the base of our team. These are our guys. Got a lot of new faces. And I'm not, you know, right now it's really difficult here on August 21st to even pretend to know what the rotation's going to look like. The big name is Egan Shields, the center for the Bears, 6'10", 250 pounds, big dude. They're playing in Puerto Rico. They're in Puerto Rico this weekend, Mike. Part of this kind of interesting foreign trip deal where they go play kind of a semi-pro type team or two. I think they're going to play two games. So they got extra practices out of that, and it's really important. I think it might be a slow start for the Bears this year. And then maybe they get things figured out by the time they hit conference play. That's kind of where I'm going. Several guys I am looking forward to seeing, like Vincent Delano, played a lot of meaningful minutes last year. He'll take over as the point guard. Tanner Braquita, Campbell Blogg, they brought from Melbourne, Australia. He's 23 years old, Mike. He's got this year and that's it, I think. Maybe he's got another year. He's supposed to be really good. And he had the perfect Australian accent too, Mike. So they call him the old man on the team already. He just got there like on Monday.
Where is he from again?
Melbourne, Australia.
Is that how it's pronounced?
According to him, 100%. It is
spelled, I'm going to have to take his word for it.
It is spelled Melbourne, Australia, but if you are smart like me, you do your research ahead of time and prepare for the interview. And if you were listening, which you were producing, so I'm surprised you didn't catch that, I said, from Melbourne, Australia, and he said, wow, you got it right, mate. Not a lot of people do.
Koala bear.
Wallaby. But I said it right. Why are you questioning me so much?
As many and
devil. Why do you question me? You literally heard him tell me I was right. I think I'm going to take it from a guy that was born and raised there. That's Melbourne, Australia. Actually, Smiley told me that before, too. So, Mike, don't mess with this, man. I got the research to back it up, okay?
You know what insults from Melbourne, Australia are called? It's called Melbournes.
It's not spelled that. It's not said that way. So that your joke doesn't work.
It is in America.
No, it's not. Not.
America.
No. Arik Muyen. That one was harder for me, and he was trying to correct me. He's supposed to have a good year. He was pretty good last year, up and down. But I'm excited to see what he can do. Hunter Caldwell. I like the roster. Got to know everybody, Mike. Keontae Tramble. Spelled with a CH. Got that one right. Nailed it, man.
Probably likes wine.
What do you...
Keontae's
do you want to try to be better today, or is it kind of just a no-go for you?
No, it's all going downhill from here.
Oh, really? We're supposed to be at our best. Mid-season form, Mike. Next week, we lock in. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. I need you to lock in. I did get this update from USA Today. The attorney for Colorado football coach Deion Sanders has filed a motion to quash a subpoena for Sanders to testify at his son Shiloh's looming bankruptcy trial in Denver, arguing that it will be an undue burden on Sanders as his team prepares for its season opener at Georgia Tech on September 3rd. Sanders' attorney, Harvey Steinberg, you've heard that name before, also said he hasn't accepted service of a subpoena for Sanders to testify, contrary to court documents filed August 19th by the attorney for the plaintiff in the case. In the motion to quash the subpoena filed August 20th, Steinberg appears to be going all out in his effort to prevent Deion Sanders from testifying in the trial as his son tries to discharge more than $11 million in debt. The trial is expected to last up to 5 days, conflicting with the travel schedule of the Buffs, which they'll be leaving for Atlanta on September 1st.
Was he famous enough to have $11 million in debt?
Shiloh Sanders?
Yeah.
This is stemming from his thing. We went over all this yesterday.
I wouldn't give him that much money. That's a lot of money for...
This is stemming from the incident in high school when he beat up a janitor.
Yeah, that one's pretty bad.
And then he didn't show up to court. So, I mean, I think that all kind of has escalated. I don't know all the details on it. I don't think being famous has anything to do with it, but that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, man. And we figured that Coach Prime's going to try to have to figure out how to get out of this thing. We'll talk to Brian Howell about that in more detail. One more quote from Steinberg from their motion to quash. Mr. Sanders is the head coach for the University of Colorado football organization. The CU Buffalo's first game of the season is set to occur on September 3rd, 2026 in Atlanta. Thus, Mr. Sanders' job obligations require him to continue working with the university staff and players to both prepare the team for its September 3rd game and to travel with the team to Georgia. Common sense dictates that Mr. Sanders' absence from sitting outside the courtroom to await potential testimony will cause him significant and undue personal and professional burdens, and that such a requirement will also significantly impact the CU Buffalo's preparation for their season opener. And, I mean, we did talk about that. Like, it's a job. And if this is going to affect his job, you can see why he might be able to get out of this, Mike. But you also wonder if he wants, like, there's got to be a part of him that thinks maybe I should be there. But that's tough. Timing of this is absolutely, absolutely crazy. Eastside Chris, if the sheriff has trouble serving a subpoena, wait till first home game and catch Deion on the sideline. So Tanner and Derbs were talking about this off the air. They didn't like the fact that the sheriff maybe was sniffing around and gonna serve him papers at practice in front of his team.
I feel like you should make it as easy as possible. Like, sit outside his house, and give it to him. That's the easiest way.
I just, unless he's ducking it. If he's ducking it, you're trying to catch him somewhere you know exactly when and where he's going to be. But I don't have any proof of that. I'm just asking the question, was he trying to duck this? It's just odd. It's an odd story.
I don't know how you duck it when you're one of the most famous personalities in all of college football. College sports, even.
Well, hopefully Brian can clear some of this up with us later on in the show, because he and I were texting back and forth about it, and it's just been a really weird week in Boulder. It's been a strange week. And I just think this is one of the many things that has added to, I say, a dramatic tenure for Coach Prime at CU. And we can talk about it more and more. I got a guy tweeting me on X saying, you know, I said there's just a lot of drama that surrounds Coach Prime. The clicks, the publicity, the fame, the drama. I said I ultimately don't think it's going to be worth it. This guy, Sam, says, you know, the clicks and the drama is 100% outside driven, and only the dumbest fall for the edited rage bait. Don't be among the dumbest. So everything surrounding Coach Prime has been made up. We've made it all up. The week coming, I'm bringing Louie. I'm retiring my son's number. All that stuff is just made up. That's not real. Coach Prime didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah, it was all AI. AI did it.
So I the retiring of the number was kind of the last straw for me. And so I responded and said retiring his son's number was outside noise. He didn't do that. And this guy writes back, no, but the reasons why are clear. He set over 100 records at CU as the best quarterback in school history. Cordell Stewart gave his blessing to retire too. The clickbait was the outrage at retiring the number of a program-changing quarterback because he didn't win as many games as people decided he should have. You don't have my standards then. You don't retire. You retire John Elway-esque. That means not only the numbers, but the wins. If CU in 2 years, if Shedeur Sanders was there, if they won a Big 12 championship, made it to the playoffs in one of those years. Maybe both years. Let's just be extreme, Mike. If they were a playoff team for 2 years, and it was mainly because Shedeur Sanders putting up those numbers, do we have a problem with retiring his number then? You're in rarefied air. Not many teams go to the playoffs, Mike. Potentially, that makes the case better. But you won four games your first year, and you won nine the second year. What are we doing? So no, I don't think it was clickbait rage, outrage. I don't buy that. It's just you're not willing to talk about it. You think that anybody that has anything negative to say about Coach Prime is, oh, must be a slow news day. What are you talking about? Slow news day? Coach Prime's the most talked about guy in the state when it comes to sports, Mike. I mean, who's talked about more, Coach Prime or Bo Nix? Maybe not right now. Maybe it's Bo Nix right now because he has an ankle thing.
Overall, I feel like it's Prime.
The quarterback including for the commercials. Broncos is getting less talk than Coach Prime. There's a reason for that. 33 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here. The projected 53-man depth chart for the Broncos. How many players at each position? We'll break into that coming up next. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. I want to thank the Eaton Country Club. We love going out there. I think we're going to go out there next week. I haven't been golfing in over a year, and we're going to find a way to get that done next week at the one and only Eaton Country Club. If you're interested in becoming a member, they do have a lot of open tournaments that you can check out that are open to the public. If you go to eatoncc.net, that's the Eaton Country Club. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. All right, Mike, I'm going to take a crack at this for the Broncos 53-man roster. Oh, are we... we're doing picks on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Well, you're picking the 53-man roster.
Okay, here we go.
It's Friday.
We're going to just go from quarterback through the offense, then we'll get into the defense. Bo Nix, you can count for me? You want to make sure I get to 53?
Maybe.
Just write it down.
That's math, yeah. And I don't like math.
All right, breaking news. They're going to carry Bo Nix, so we know that for sure. We got one, guaranteed.
But what about his ankle?
Jarrett Stidham, I do think they're going to carry three. I think this is the year to do it. I don't normally like it, but because of the ankle situation, I do think Sam Ellinger will be the third string quarterback. So that means another position is going to have to drop a player or two. Here's where it gets interesting. J.K. Dobbins at running back, R.J. Harvey, Jonah Coleman, I believe... they carry their fullback, Adam Prentice. Four running backs. Not five. Jaleel McLaughlin. Does not make the team.
You have two players who have had issues with injury in the past. I don't have a problem with them just carrying three, plus your fullback. Might want to carry four.
You'll have a practice squad running back, though, right? So...
yeah, but are you going to have the practice squad running backs that you love?
Mm-hmm. Like Jaleel's probably going to have to, he'll go elsewhere, right?
Probably.
I just think J.K. Dobbins and Bo Nix are both, you know, not prone to injury. J.K. is. Bo, I'm not ready to say that. He had obviously predisposed stuff, whatever Sean Payton said. Bo said no. You have to pick one of those positions. Are you going to carry more quarterbacks or carry more running backs? And I think Ellinger will actually get the nod at quarterback number three, as opposed to Jaleel McLaughlin getting the nod at running back number four. And the fact that Adam Prentice is there at fullback, you at least have depth there. The wide receiver room, Cortland Sutton, surprise, Jalen Waddle, Pat Bryant. I do think Marvin Mims is going to make this team.
if not at wide receiver, he will be the returner.
Right. Troy Franklin. So that would give you one, two, three, four, five, my math, five wide receivers.
And little Jordan Humphrey will have to go elsewhere. Yeah. He's not going to be on your practice squad.
And I don't think the guy they got from the UCF or whatever, Hakeem Butler, don't think he makes the team. So that's you know, I was kind of interested, but I don't think. Well, we'll see. Maybe he gets some playing time tonight, Mike. Tight ends, Evan Engram, Adam Trautman. They're going to keep the rookie, Justin Jolie. He'll be on there. And then, because he's versatile, Nate Adkins, because he can play fullback too.
Yeah, I don't see Kroll making it.
So four tight ends there. That also means Caleb Lohner doesn't make the 53. Offensive linemen, nothing crazy here. I just, you know, typically nine O linemen. McGlinchey, Bowles, Miners, Powers, Luke Wattenberg. You got to think Palcheski makes the team. Frank Crum, former Cowboy, Wyoming Cowboy, Cage Casey, and Alex Forsythe. There's nine. So now we go to the defense. Defensive linemen, six DLs. Zach Allen, DJ Jones, Malcolm Roach, Iyama Uzurike. Oh, we got to get that one down because he's going to be a stud, Mike. Wazurike. He's going to be one to watch out for. Savion Jones, Tyler Onyedem. That would give you, what did I say, six D linemen. And then at outside linebacker, Benito Cooper. Until told otherwise, Jonah Ellis, Dondre Tillman, Q Robinson. Inside linebacker, Alex Singleton, Justin Sternad, Kareen Reed, who had the tipped ball to Jahdae Barron. Wow, completely blanked out. I think he makes the team, and Red Murdoch. So we got four inside linebackers. Cornerback, Pat Surtain, Riley Moss, Jaquan McMillan, Jahdae Barron, Chris Abrams-Drain, and Reese Taylor. Now, here's where it's interesting, because the Broncos, we talked about it, they did pick up a safety yesterday. So what does that do to the safety room? Brandon Jones, Hufanga. But you have Devin Key, J.L. Skinner. Where does the new guy fall into this mix? That's going to be the tricky one. Taylor Rapp, former Buffalo Bill.
One of these talented safeties is going to be on the practice squad.
Yeah, so I say, because you didn't sign Taylor Rapp to not have him on your, I think he's like the third guy. So Brandon Jones, Hufanga, Rapp, and then is it Skinner or Key? Probably Skinner. Go there. And then they'll have a long snapper and Mitchell Fabroni, Will Lutz at kicker, Jeremy Crawshaw at punter. Did we get to 53? Did you count?
I didn't, but it sounds like 53 to me.
Any thoughts on that? Any disagreements on that?
I don't think that they're going to carry three quarterbacks.
If Bo goes down,
you have a guy on the practice squad that you sign up.
I guess.
And they're going to run the ball more.
But what you said, though, you risk losing Sam Ehlinger if you put him in the practice squad and sign somewhere else. That's the risk there. That's why it's, you know, it sounds like, oh, good idea. Just put him on the practice squad. Now, he chose to stay in Denver. He did have some looks. He had people interested in him. But he apparently loves Denver. But you got to know, you're not going to pass up Bo ever. And they love Jarrett Stidham. So I'll be curious. I am. Like, I'm not that confident. The four running back thing with a fullback with Adam Prentice involved, those are the first two we got into, Mike. Those are probably the biggest questions. So I don't think a lot of people have issues with Lil Jordan Humphrey not making this team.
Yeah, I mean, he's dependable, and I love the guy. Sometimes he drops it. But I just don't think – I think the wide receiver room – is very, very, very,
very good now.
Tight.
Last year going in, it was a weakness. The last 2 years, I would say, the wide receiver room was a weakness.
Yeah, you have some talented players who will play and show up in one or two games and then disappear for three games. You're like, was this guy injured or what?
Yeah, that was the thing. You just saw inconsistent play. And I think this is, now that you have Jaylen Waddle, you got two guys that you know are going to be consistent, Cortland Sutton and Jaylen Waddle. And it just sounds like, from what we've seen from practice, from what we've heard from training camp so far, is that Pat Bryant is really making his presence known. Then you go Marvin Mims and Troy Franklin. Not a big shocker there, but you know, Coach Payton does love him some little Jordan Humphrey, Mike.
Yeah, so. I think this was probably the easiest, the wide receiver room, probably the easiest one to predict.
Probably.
I would be so shocked if it went a different way.
Tight end room is scary, Mike. Is that the weakest position on this team? I know Sutton gets pissy about that. But when I see Evan Engram, I'm going, you know, last year I was really excited about Engram, and he just didn't have the season. But we'll see. Like, it's somewhat of a question mark. But then it's Troutman, Adkins, and a rookie. I'm concerned about the tight. That's the weakness on this team.
If you want to run the ball and run it effectively, especially if you're playing a team that has a great defensive line, especially great defensive end like the Raiders, you really want a tough tight end.
Yeah, well, and Troutman's a tough tight end. He's just not like a pass-catching type
there to
tight
catch
end.
The ball
not
time.
A lot, no, or Nate Adkins. But maybe Justin Jolie does something. Probably get a good dose of him tonight, I would imagine. So there you go, Mike. That's the rough thought. That could change after what we see tonight. I'll tell you what. You know who's in the pressure cooker? We used to do the whole show pressure cooker. Jaleel McLaughlin.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
Because if he goes and balls out tonight, then that makes that decision of, do we carry three quarterbacks or do we carry four tailbacks?
And for me, I'm carrying four tailbacks.
And maybe. And I went back and forth.
History.
I just think that you don't want to lose Sam Ehlinger. And if you put him on the practice squad, you risk it.
Yeah.
Cleveland will go pick him up.
I don't think they have enough room. I think with the fact that they want to run the ball more and you have backs with an injury history, you have to keep four backs because you know Jaleel's not going to be on the practice squad.
No, he would he would get picked up.
He's tough.
He would get picked up.
Gained weight.
So I'm putting him in the pressure cooker, Mike, if we're doing that again. 12:49 the time. We'll take a short break, wrap up hour number two. I got clip of the day coming up. Also, our Buffs insider, Brian Howell. He'll give us the rundown of this week with the subpoenas and deputy sheriffs and lawyers and getting involved. What has this week been like for Brian? We'll talk about that coming up next.
Football, volleyball, and all the preps fall sports you can handle. Listen to Coach Speak weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Mike, coming up, we'll get to our clip of the day presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. And then we'll get to our Buffs insider, Brian Howell. And then we'll wrap it up with a little more Broncos, Green Bay Packers stuff as we get set for preseason game number two. Keep it here on The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.